Our topic for tonight, Dinosaurs Prove the Bible True.
Some time ago, there was an article in the UK Guardian News, and it said this, Dinosaurs Meet the Ambassadors for Evolution. And it says here, dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago, yet our fascination with them grows. So amid the 200th anniversary celebrations of Charles Darwin's birth this week, dinosaurs should be hailed as ambassadors for evolution.
Really, son? Is that how we got here? Did we evolve? Are we related somewhere in the distant past to the dinosaurs? Is that our origin? The Bible says in Genesis 1, verse 1, the very first verse in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens, the heaven, and the earth. That sounds like it's a little disagreeing with evolution.
There has been a long controversy between creation and evolution. Evolution says we evolved up by chance, and of course, the Bible teaches that God created us, and the question is, who is right?
We want to answer that question tonight. There are actually three great questions that everyone faces at some point in their lives. First question is, where did I come from? Second question, why am I here? And third question, where am I going? Evolution claims to be able to answer the first of those three great questions, but it offers us no help at all with the next two. You see, if we just evolved up from the monkeys, up from the dinosaurs, then really life is nothing more than a meaningless pause between two empty eternities. There's no hope beyond the grave. But if, as the Bible tells us, we are created in the image of God, then there is hope for our future. We can look beyond the present life with its difficulties to something far better in the future. The Bible teaches us that a loving, caring God created mankind. But is there proof for that? Can we find evidence that what the Bible says about our origins is correct?
The history of the Bible has been a very fascinating history all down through its time. The Bible has been banned. It has been burned. There have been many thousands of decrees against the Bible, but yet we still have it, and it's the best-selling book in the world, and it was the first book that was ever printed. And that leaves us with this question, what lies behind the Bible's obvious power?
Well, son, the answer is the Bible is the Word of God. But how do we know that? We want to give you tonight five proofs that the Bible is God's Word, and I think you have them listed in your handout, those of you that got the handout. Number one
is cohesive unity. The word Bible simply means book, of course, the Bible is made up of 66 books, and it was written by more than 40 different authors over a period of 1,600 years, and it was written in three languages on three continents. Very amazing, yet the Bible harmonizes perfectly. For example, if you were to get 40 doctors to write about the best way to treat cancer, would all 40 doctors agree?
I don't think so.
Well, probably not. But if you have 40 different people, most of whom lived at different times of the Earth's history, you have them write about poetry and about morality and about religion and about all kinds of things and have that harmonized, you know that that is a miracle. See, any one man can write a book and call it a holy book. One man is not going to disagree with himself. But when you have 40 different people writing and that harmonizes, you know that there was some divine power behind the Word of God.
That's number one, cohesive unity. Let's give you number two. Number two, second proof that the Bible is God's Word, the Bible itself claims to be inspired by God. Over 3,000 times, the Bible calls God its author. I'll give you a couple examples. You can mark these in your notes. Number one is from 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, where the Bible says, all Scripture, how much? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It was God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Another text, second text, is from 2 Peter 1, verse 21, which says,
this says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
They spake, they wrote, as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. If these claims are true, and I believe they are, then there is no higher authority in the world than the Bible. If these claims are not true, the Bible could never have endured so many centuries of opposition and still be the world's best-selling book. So number two, inspired by God. What's number three, son?
Number three is the evidence from archaeology. Ancient stones have spoken confirming the truth of the Word of God. Take, for example, the fascinating discovery in 1975 of Ebla in northern Syria. And in this town that the archaeologists dug up, they discovered a library of ancient clay tablets, 15 to 17,000 clay tablets that dated all the way back to 2500 BC. And on these tablets, they read about many things, and they also read about things like creation and also the universal flood, Bible names in places like Esau, Abraham, Israel, Sinai, and Jerusalem. And they even read about two sin cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that that's also in the Bible. Take, for example, the issue of the universal flood. You can find evidence of a universal flood in many ancient cultures and civilizations. Take, for example, the Chinese word for boat, composed of three parts, with vessel, eight, and people. Where do you think that there was the idea of a vessel having eight people? Well, it was the universal flood. The Bible reveals there were eight people in Noah's Ark. But what about, Father, the fossil record? Does it also confirm the Bible?
Well, yes. Now, of course, the geologists tell us that the dinosaurs lived about 65 million years ago, long before humans evolved. And they say there's this long span of difference in time between the time of the dinosaurs and the time of humans. Well, did humans and dinosaurs live at the same time? I'm going to show you an amazing photograph. Look at that. This was discovered in the year 2000 by archaeologist Elvis Delk. And you can see a dinosaur footprint right on top of a human footprint. This has been verified by a spiral CT scan. Here's a picture of the scan. You can see the impression in the rock. This was not carved in by some imaginary creationist. This was actually imprinted there in the clay, which later became petrified rock. Here you have a high-resolution picture of that. The dinosaur footprint right on top of a human footprint. Apparently, humans and dinosaurs lived at the same time. What does this prove? Well, first of all, it verifies the Bible. Secondly, it verifies the universal flood story. Apparently, the dinosaur was headed one way and the human was headed another way, trying to escape the floodwaters. And they left their footprints, which later became petrified. And thirdly, it disproves the theory of evolution. In fact, one evolutionist in the book, The Inquest of the African Dinosaur, said if humans and dinosaurs co-occurred together, if they lived at the same time, if that could be proven, he said, then evolution would be vanquished. Well, you can see tonight that evolution has been vanquished by archaeology.
There is a nursery tale that says a princess kisses a frog and it turns into a prince. We call that, of course, a
fairy tale.
A fairy tale. However, if a prince or if a frog turns into a prince in 40 million years, then, of course, it's no longer a fairy tale, but it is evolution. You can see how that evolution is sort of like a fairy tale with lots of time. They say, give it enough time, anything will take place. So we can see that the Bible record has been proven by archaeology.
And one of the most amazing discoveries is the discovery of that rock with the dinosaur footprint right on top of the human footprint.
But the question some people ask is this: how do you know that the Bible hasn't been changed? It's an ancient book. Maybe the copiers, maybe the translators put in their ideas into the Bible. How do we know?
Well, son, we do know through the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were discovered back in 1947. How many of you here have heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls? Let me see. Anybody? I see some hands. Our family, we actually had the opportunity to see the Dead Sea Scrolls on display in San Diego, California, some years ago. But they found there in caves around the Dead Sea portions of every book of the Old Testament except the book of Esther. And these copies of the Bible dated all the way back 125 B.C. They were 1,000 years older than the oldest copies of scriptures that were in existence at the time. They found the entire Isaiah scroll, complete from the first verse to the last verse. And when they compared our modern Bibles with the Dead Sea Scrolls, you know what they discovered? The Bible has come down to us virtually unchanged.
The same God who inspired the Bible protected the Bible. And that's why the Bible says, your word is true from the beginning.
Psalms 119, verse 160. I hope you can mark some of these texts in your notes tonight.
One archaeologist, Sir Frederick Kenyon, a world-renowned archaeologist, said, the Christian can take the whole Bible in his hand and say without fear or hesitation that he holds in his hands the true Word of God, handed down without essential loss from generation to generation throughout the centuries.
And here's another statement from an archaeologist, world-renowned Jewish archaeologist. He said, it may be stated categorically that no archaeological discovery has ever controverted the Bible. Evidence of archaeology.
We have seen how that evidence of archaeology indeed confirms the Bible. Let's go on now to number 4.
Our fourth proof that the Bible is God's word is that the Bible predicts the future. And I want to illustrate that with a text from the Bible in Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 46, I'm going to read this right out of the Bible. If you have a Bible, you can't read. It's too dark in here, huh? Well, I hope it's light enough for you to take notes. Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. You can mark that. The Bible says, God says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things which are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So God says, in the ancient past, I have revealed the distant future. And we've seen that illustrated in our first lecture. Those of you that were with us last night, you may remember the metallic man symbolizing the four universal empires of the past. Let's just, for the sake of showing how that the Bible predicts the future, focus in on that first empire, Babylon. Babylon was going to be destroyed. That was foretold by Isaiah in Isaiah 13, 19, when Babylon was at its height of success and power.
And then, number 2, the Bible even predicted the very nation that would do the work of destroying Babylon, Medo-Persia, Jeremiah 51, verse 11.
The Bible also foretold the man that would lead the conquest. That was going to be Cyrus. You can read the text in Isaiah 45, verse 1, written 150 years before Cyrus was even born.
And then the Bible predicted that Babylon would become a heap of ruins. That was predicted in Jeremiah 51, 57. And if you were to travel to Baghdad, Iraq, and go about 80 kilometers south of Baghdad, Iraq today, you would see that indeed Babylon is still today a heap of ruins.
Bible prophecy predicted Babylon would never again be inhabited. Prophet Isaiah 13, 20 and 21.
And then the Bible even predicted that Babylon would never be rebuilt, Isaiah 25, verse 2. Now, this is a very interesting prediction because there was a man who decided he would rebuild Babylon and he would prove the Bible false. His name was Saddam Hussein. He was going to rebuild Babylon. The problem is he ran into war with the United States and then he got caught and then he was hanged. Saddam Hussein is no more, but the word of God is true.
God's word has been true from the beginning. Let's review how the Bible has foretold the future. Those of you that were with us last night, remember the metallic image? The head of gold represented what kingdom? Babylon, you remember well. How about the chest and arms of silver represented what empire? Medo-Persia. What about the midsection of brass?
Greece.
Symbol of Greece. And the legs of iron represented what empire?
Rome.
What about the feet of clay and iron mixed? That was the symbol of divided Europe. There you have 2,500 years of history written in advance. This was foretold by the prophet Daniel. Daniel in your Bible. Before it happened. Now here's what's amazing. The Bible is the only holy book in the world that has accurately predicted the rise and fall of empires. No other holy book has done that. The Bible is the only holy book in the world that has accurately predicted the rise and fall of empires. So you can see the Bible is really a superior holy book to all the other holy books out there in the world. You can trust the Bible. Number four, it predicts the future.
Let's move on now to number five. This is our last one, and I believe this is the most powerful one. Number five, the Bible changes lives. It is the only book that changes lives. The Bible can make a drunkard sober. The Bible can make a thief honest. It can make a prostitute pure. It can make a rough person kind. The Bible changes people's lives. Reminds me of this story. There was an atheist visiting a cannibal island some time ago, and the atheist saw the villagers reading the Word of God and singing Christian hymns. He began to make fun of the villagers. "You foolish villagers, the missionary's been here. He's deceived you with the truths of the Bible or with the myths of the Bible. Don't you know that no intelligent person today believes in that book?" Well, the chief of the village, he walked up to the atheist and he said, "Sir, do you see over there the pots? We used to boil human flesh in those pots. If it wasn't for the Bible, you might be in those pots right now, and we would be cooking you for supper." Well, the atheist had nothing more to say against the Bible. The Bible had transformed the whole village from a wild, cannibalistic place to a peace-loving civilization. That's why one author said, "The creative energy that called the worlds into existence is in the Word of God. This Word imparts power. It begets or it creates life. Every command is a promise, accepted by the will, received into the soul. It brings with it the life of the Infinite One."
Would you like power in your life? You find power in the Word of God.
The Bible says in Genesis 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now here, the skeptics laugh. They say, "Creation? No, creation's a myth. Evolution is how we got here. How do we know, Father, that God made it all?"
Well, let me illustrate, son, this way. I have here a watch. It's a simple watch. The pin broke tonight. That's why it's sitting here on the desk instead of on my wrist. But it keeps good time. I should ask those of you that are here, how many of you have a watch? Let me see. Put your hand up if you have a watch. All right, looks like most of you do. Next question, how many of you here who have a watch have met the person who designed and made your watch? Anybody? Well, how do you know that somebody made the watch then? Let me tell you how your watch originated. You see, a long time ago, millenniums ago perhaps, there was a big bang in a garbage dump, and little bits of plastic and metal came flying together and formed this thing. And as the sun shone on this thing after a period of long ages, the thing started ticking. Tick, 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 tick. That's how the watch originated. How many of you believe me? You say, "We're not that gullible. We know somebody made our watch, even though we never met the person who made the watch." How do you know somebody made your watch if you never met the one who made it? Here's the point. The character of the watchmaker is seen in the watch. I never met the person who made this watch, but I know something about them. I know that whoever made this watch can count at least to 12. I know that whoever made this watch is accurate because the watch is accurate. So I know something of the person's character, but I never met the person. And of course, the point for us is this. The evidence for the Creator is in the creation. We've not seen God, but we see evidence for God in the things that He has created.
If the universe is merely the result of an accident, then who made the laws that govern it? Who did the laws evolve?
You know, somebody must have made the laws of the universe. The universe is more accurate than your watch. We set our watches by the universe. Who made it all?
Well, the Bible tells us, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
How did God do it, son?
Well, the Bible tells us, another text, Psalms 33:6-9 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast.
God stepped out into nothing. He stood upon nothing. He spoke into nothing, and he created worlds.
Wait a minute. Where's the proof for that?
Well, did you know we actually have proof now? Geologists have discovered evidence that God spoke this world into existence within all granite rock everywhere on the planet. They have found what is called Paulownia microspheres, or halos, captured there in the granite rock. And geologists will tell you that if the rock cooled slowly, like evolution tells us, then all those little radioactive halos, those polonium microspheres, they would have disappeared out of the rock. But there they are, captured in the rock. And the only way that they could be in the rock, captured in the rock, is if the rock was formed instantly. And of course, creationists say, yeah, that's what the Bible says. And the evolutionist says, well, that's just a little mystery we don't understand. We can't explain. It would be sort of like if you saw, son, if you were to see a glass of ice. And suspended partway down in the ice are two soda tablets and these frozen bubbles. What would you assume?
Well, I would believe the ice had formed instantly.
Otherwise, if the ice formed slowly, those soda tablets, they would have disappeared. All the bubbles would be gone. The only way the ice, those bubbles could be in the ice is if the ice was formed instantly. And we have now evidence this earth was created.
By the word of the Lord, the Bible says, were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Now we have the evidence for that from science.
In the granite rock.
If you want to read more, you can read www.halos.com. There's a lot more information there.
The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for the invisible things of him, that's God, we haven't seen God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We have not seen God, but we see evidence for God. Let me illustrate this way. Son, let's imagine that you and I are going to explore in an area of the world that's never been explored before. Maybe we're down in the Amazon jungle, and we're hacking our way through the jungle. Maybe we're seeing plants that nobody's ever seen before, or bugs or insects. And one day as we're exploring, son, we come into a clearing. And there in the clearing, we see three posts in a straight row. One post, and then three meters beyond is the second post. 3 meters beyond that, a third post. And they're all lined up in a straight row. I say, look at that, son. Look, there's three posts. We're not the first ones that have been here. Somebody else must have been here.
Well, I don't see anybody.
I say, well, look at the evidence. Can't you see those posts lined up in a row?
Well, maybe the monkeys put those there.
Monkeys are smart, but they're not that smart, son. Monkeys don't put posts in a row. Straight row, 3 meters apart.
Well, maybe they just gradually, over a period of a long time, pushed up out of the earth themselves.
They evolved?
Yes.
Son, maybe we need to go visit the psychiatric ward. If Micah were to try to convince us that those posts had evolved, what would we think? Something wrong. Think about it. How elementary. Three posts in a straight row. If three posts in a row, 3 meters apart, indicate an intelligent designer, then what can we say about all these wonderful creations that we see all around us in our world?
All the amazing display of variety and shapes and colors and everything. Did it just happen all by chance?
No, there must have been some intelligent designer.
I have a picture here. The space shuttle, an engineering wonder that human beings accomplished. But then on the other side, there's a picture of a human body. Which of these two is more complicated, the space shuttle or the human body? What is the human body? Even one cell is more complicated than the biggest city. And of course, there's millions and billions of cells in the human body. The next question is, which of these two evolved by chance?
The evolutionists will try to convince us that we evolved somewhere back in the distant past. We're related to the dinosaurs. If we were to try to convince you that the space shuttle evolved out of a big bang, what would you think? You'd think we were crazy. Suppose we're walking down by the beach and we see those marks in the sand. I say, son, look at that. Somebody's been here.
Well, I don't see anybody either this way or that way.
Well, can't you see the footprints?
Well, maybe the waves made those marks in the sand.
Well, waves don't make footprints in the sand. We haven't seen the person, but we see his footprints. We see evidence. The Bible says in Psalms 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. If I were to try to convince you that those footprints just evolved, you'd think I was a fool. And yet how many people believe that we, this amazing mechanism, the human body, we just happened by chance, evolved. Oh, no, friend. Somebody made us. We haven't seen him, but we see his footprints. I see God's footprints all through creation. I see his footprints in the sunrise and the sunset and all the creatures that he has made.
Bible itself says in Job 12, 7 through 9, but ask now the beasts and they will teach you, and the birds of the air and they will tell you.
Or speak to the earth and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee.
Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord has done this?
It's as if the Bible says, who can't see the evidence? But now, son, what about the age of the earth? Maybe the earth is old enough that things could evolve over several million billion years. How old is the earth?
Well, that depends on which scientist you ask at which time in this earth's history. Back in 1862, the scientist Thomson said that the world was 20 million years old. And then 35 years later, he changed his mind and decided that the earth was actually 40 million years old. So in 35 years, the world got 20 million years older.
I'm glad I don't age that fast.
And then the scientist Jolly said in 1899 that the earth was 90 million years old. Raleigh in 1921 said, no, it's actually a billion years old. And then Hotchkiss came along in 1932 and said, no, the earth is 1.6 billion years old. And then Holmes in 1947 said, no, the earth is 3.35 billion years old. And then in 1956, which wasn't even 10 years later, he said the world was 4.5 billion years old. So imagine the world in 9 years got more than 1 billion years older.
Would you like to age that fast?
And then 2008, they say it's 5 billion plus. Maybe in 2020, they'll say it's 10 billion.
Who knows? How old is the earth then, son?
Well, based on the Bible evidence through the people that lived in the Bible reveals that the world is about 6,000 years old.
Yes, and science now is beginning to find evidence that this earth is actually quite young. Young Earth. In fact, you want to do some research. Type in Young Earth in your search engine. You'll be amazed at all the evidence. So apparently the dinosaurs didn't live millions of years ago, billions of years ago, before humans. In fact, here's something amazing.
This was a fascinating discovery. Recently, 10 years ago, Associated Press, it says, scientists recover a T-Rex, that's a dinosaur, T-Rex soft tissue, 70-million-year-old fossil yields preserved blood vessels. And of course, the paradox is, if it was really 70 million years old, it would be absolutely impossible for there to still be preserved blood vessels. It says here in the next slide, it says, it beguiles belief that it could have lasted that long. And then one doctor said, this latest discovery is just one more example of scientific evidence that disproves evolution. Evidence that most school children will never see in their textbooks.
They have found preserved blood vessels, soft tissue in the mummies. And the mummies we know are several thousand years old. But they're not several million years old. After that much time, it would be petrified. So here is scientific evidence that the dinosaurs didn't live millions of years ago. What happened to the dinosaurs, son?
Well, you write in a question for us sometime, and we'll try to answer that.
They actually disappeared about the time of the flood. And the question is why? Well, we don't have time to answer that tonight. You can write that on the back of one of your quiz cards. We'll answer that in a future question time.
The Bible says, let's read it all together. Genesis 1, verse 1.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
And since someone made you, the good news is that somebody cares about you. Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him, that's God, that's Jesus, because he cares for you. Because God made you, God cares for you.
Just as the artist cares for his artwork, the gardener cares for her garden, his garden, the parent cares for their children, so since somebody made us, somebody cares for us. And you can cast your burdens upon him because he cares for you. And the whole Bible is a story of a loving God, a caring God, who not only created us, but is at work to save us. Save us from the curse of sin.
Bible says in Job 22:21, acquaint now yourself with him, that's with God, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto you. Do you want good and peace in your life, my friends, tonight?
Amen.
Then you must become acquainted with God. The one who guides the stars wants to guide your life.
It was the former president, Dwight Eisenhower, who once said, to read the Bible is to take a trip to a fair land where the spirit is strengthened and faith renewed. Somebody once said, if you want to understand the Bible, there are three steps. Number one, read the Bible. Number two, read the Bible. Number three, read the Bible. Are you doing that? Read the Bible and become acquainted with the one who loves you, who created you, who cares for you.
We have found five evidences that the Bible can be trusted. Number one, cohesive unity.
Number two, it's inspired by God.
Number three, the evidence of archaeology.
Number four, it predicts the future.
And number five, it changes lives.
Yes, the Bible can change your life. You can read in the Bible in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Put that text somewhere in your notes today. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. God says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Friend, there is a hope for you. There's a future for you. Would you like to become acquainted with your Creator? How many want to become acquainted with your Creator? May I see your hands? How do you become acquainted with him? By reading his holy word. And so we want to challenge you. Dust off the covers of that sacred book. Open them up and read about your Creator. If you've never read the Bible, here's what we recommend. Start with the Gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. In fact, we would probably recommend start with the book of John. Then you can back up and read Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then read the Psalms. When I first got acquainted with God, I read the New Testament. And I enjoyed the New Testament so much. went back and read the whole Bible. And as you read the Bible, you find hope.
There is hope for you. Believing in creation is not odd. There is hope for you. Behold God's footprints on this earthly sod. There is hope for you. The Bible is for us the Word of God, and there is hope in Christ for you.
There is hope for you if God's Word you will only read. There is hope for you to its instructions. You must give heed. There is hope for you. The Bible has the answer for your need. So there is hope in Christ for you.
But Father, if God is really love, then why do we suffer so much?
Well, son, looks like we're out of time tonight. So you need to come back tomorrow. Tomorrow night, we're going to be studying Revelation's mother of all battles, and we'll see how evil came into this world. Where is God when you suffer? We'll answer that question tomorrow night. Bring a friend. In fact, bring 25 friends, and you'll win that book, Health and Peace. Let's end our meeting tonight with a prayer, and I'll invite you to stand with us as we conclude with prayer. We do invite you, if you have not yet registered for our seminar for the free DVD, you can do that. Just drop off the registration card there at our table. Be sure and keep your little keychain code. When you get to 15 lectures, then you'll get a free DVD. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the Holy Bible. And as we read its pages, we pray you'd help each of us to become acquainted with you, our Creator. Thank you for the evidence that you exist. Help us to come to know you as a personal friend. We pray your blessing on every home represented here in this hall tonight, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.